Well, good evening and welcome to Spirit Life Training. I'm Dr. Leroy Thompson, Jr. Welcome back for your second year. Glad you're here. We're going to have a wonderful year. We had a wonderful year last year. Hope you learned a lot. This year is going to be even better. And I look forward to being with you this year. Of course, our book for this semester and this year really is Spirit Life Training. This is going to be an exciting book. Y'all know how I am. Y'all know how my exams are. Once again, we go back to the original concept that we had last year in Alliance of Honorable Men, where we talked about shifting from being self-centric to being God-centric. And so a lot of that has to do with the soul or the mind. A lot of times we as Christians have been taught to ignore the mind, to ignore the soul. But the soul is very important in accomplishing the will of God. Without the soul, it is impossible to accomplish the will of God. And so this is why you can turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, very familiar scripture. We're going to see this scripture over and over and over again. In Romans, the 12th chapter, starting at the first verse. Praise God. Starting at the first verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Right there, we start off with the mind. You got to decide to do this. Can't nobody make you do this. God is not going to present your body. Nobody else is going to present your body. He says, you must present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your what? Mind. That ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the mind has something to do with you proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what the Bible is really saying, what the Apostle Paul is really saying is without your mind, you can't recognize when God is talking and when he's not talking. Your mind is the thing that determines whether God is talking or not. Your spirit is already recognized God's spirit. Because why? Your spirit comes from God. See, what happens when you got born again, your spirit got reconnected to God. So what was stopping your spirit from connecting to God? Your soul. So that's why Jesus had to die on the cross, get rid of all the sin, so our soul will have a chance to be free, so that our spirit can be reconnected to our original creator or our father. See, this is why the Apostle Paul said we have to renew your mind, because your mind does not get born again. Why? Your mind has been designed to absorb. let's start off with this. Let's start off with this so you know this. I know you heard this before, but some people might have never heard this before, but this is good. You must realize that you are a spirit. The real you. You can't look in the mirror and see the real you. You're not looking at the real me. You're looking at my shell. You're looking at the part that I'm presenting to God as a living sacrifice, my body. The real you is your spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. Let's do that again. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is a tool for your spirit. And you live in a body. Your body is a tool for your soul. Let's say it this way. Your spirit is the master. Your soul is the manager. Your body is the slave. Your spirit is the master. Your soul or your mind is the manager, and your body is the slave. So your body is going to do what the soul tell it. You have to train your soul to do what your spirit is telling it to do. Because your soul sometimes thinks it's the master. So you have to renew it with the word of God. All what the Apostle Paul is saying is you have to keep shaping your way of thinking with God's way of thinking in order for you to be effective in the earth realm. So your soul is important. Your soul, we see in Romans 12 and 2, that your soul or your mind is the thing that determines whether God is talking or not. What it says to prove. Prove is means to recognize what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a soul. God has a mind. God knows. The Bible says God is a spirit. Yeah, you are a spirit, but you have a soul. Are we not made in the image of God? Right? We are made in the image of God. So that means if I'm made in the image of God, that means God looked at himself and made me. So that means, watch this. God made me in the image of how my flesh is supposed to be. I'm made how God wanted me to be made. Second, I have a soul, just like God have a soul. Do you know God has a fleshly body? He doesn't state it, but he had a fleshly body. What it was? It was Jesus. There's another example. It was Melchizedek. Melchizedek is God. God became flesh. I know that Hebrews 7 says it. So God made us in his image. So God has a soul. Let's read Bible on it. Watch this. Go watch this. Two scriptures. If God didn't have a soul, these two scriptures could not exist. What two scriptures? Isaiah 1 and 19. Turn there. Isaiah 1 and 19. Because I want to show you this. Isaiah 1, 19. Watch this. Isaiah 1, 19. Actually, it's 18. Isaiah 1, 18. What it says. Well, first of all, let's go back. Let me find, so I will make sure you know who's talking. Let me see. All right, look at verse 20. It says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For who? The mouth of the who? The Lord has spoken it, right? So we know who's talking, right? The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now go back to the 18th verse. He says, come now and let us do what? Reason together. Reason? What that means? What reason means? Reason means to think, to ponder. He said, come now, let us. Who's talking? God. Let us think together. Reason together, saith the Lord. There it is, saith the Lord. Though your sins, or another word for sins is actions, though your actions be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God said, okay, by the time, come put your thoughts with mine. By the time we finish thinking together, all of your wicked thoughts are going to be straightened out. All the directions you thought you should be going in, I'm going to rearrange them and send them the direction that I want you to go in. Now, verse 19, he said, then if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So here it is, once again, a second verse that shows us that our soul is going to be the thing to determine what God is talking about. Your spirit already knows. Let me give this illustration. Have you ever had a can of soda? I have to talk like I'm from the north. Soda. Down here in the south, we say cold drink. I never forget. I started traveling, and we were eating. They said, what you want to drink? I said, a cold drink. The lady looked at me. I think I might have been in Michigan. I said, I want a cold drink. She looked at me and she said, a cold drink? She said, which cold drink? I said, a cold drink. She said, which cold drink? I said, like Coke, Sprite. She said, oh, that's what you meant. So you want a soda? So for my northerners, soda. If you ever had a can of soda or a bottle of soda and you shook it up real good, for me, cold drink, you shook it up real good, every one of us know that you don't want to take the cap or pop that can right away, because what's going to happen? It's going to shoot everywhere because of the carbonation that's in the can or in the bottle. That's the same way with you, your spirit, and your soul. The Bible says, stir up the gift that is within you, that was put on you by the laying on of hands. So you stirring up the spirit, you hearing God's voice, you doing that, and then your mind say, that's too much for me to do. I'm not sure that's the voice of God. I don't think we should be doing this. What essentially you're doing is you're not releasing that bottle cap, or you're not popping that can and releasing the energy that's on the inside of you. Your soul does all that. Your soul keeps all of your spirit bottled in. This is why this class is going to be about you training your soul. That's why it's called spirit life training. Training your soul to cooperate with your spirit. It's going to be about training your soul to cooperate with your spirit. The Bible talks about that you're going to be able to tell right or wrong just by your senses. Your senses come from your soul. You're going to be so well trained. You spend so much time with God that your senses, you don't have to even get to your spirit. Your senses will recognize, oh, this ain't God. This ain't what God wants. This ain't God talking. See, the reason why Adam and Eve got tricked is because they were so new, and Satan posed himself as a God. Satan always going to do that. He always going to pose as something he's not, because he's a liar. This is one of the things I do in my life. If I ever hear something that's opposite of what God is saying, I automatically go with the opposite. I automatically go with what God is telling me, because Satan is always going to lie. So if Satan tells me anything, I always do the opposite. If I recognize it's Satan, I don't even have to think. I do the opposite, because he's a liar. He has no other trick. The only trick he has, he's a deceiver. He's always posing to be somebody. The Bible says he transformed into an angel of light. He's always posing to be something he's not. There's no other new trick Satan got. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. So, now watch this. It's important. Now it's important you understand that, because the only place that Satan has access to you is in your soul, in your mind, in your thought process. Notice what he did to Eve. He began to talk to Eve and tell her a lie. And because Eve wasn't, watch this, her mind was not renewed. Other words, she didn't take what God, see God, watch this. God had been spending time with, Adam and Eve had it wonderful, because God himself, they weren't dealing with logos. You remember what logos is? Logos is the written word of God. Rhema is God's actual voice. They weren't dealing with logos. They were dealing with rhema. God was showing up himself and talking to Adam and Eve. You and I have that same ability today. He was showing, if we allow ourselves to spend time with him, his voice, take time to learn his voice. And we're going to talk about hearing the voice of God in the future classes. But they were spending time with God, and God was renewing their mind. They some way had got away from spending time with God. How do I know? It says because after they sinned, they hid themselves from the voice of God. Go read it. They hid themselves. Now, how can you hide yourself from the voice of God? God is everywhere. You can hide yourself from the word, from the voice of God in your soul. You can ignore the word of God. You can ignore the voice of God. You can black out the voice of God. When you block out the voice of God, listen, there's no neutrality in the soul. If you block out the voice of God, you're going to hear a voice. Either it's going to be your voice, which don't know nothing anyway, or you're going to hear Satan's voice, who only knows enough to get you to do what he wants you to do and get you away from the voice of God. So there's three voices you're going to be dealing with all your life. You're going to be dealing with the voice of God, the voice of yourself, and the voice of the enemy, of the devil. There's no neutrality in the soul. Either you're going to hear the voice of God, you're going to hear your voice, or you're going to hear the voice of the enemy. If you ignore the voice of God, there's only two voices left, your voice and the voice of the enemy, and both of them are doomed for destruction because you don't know nothing. I don't care how educated you are. There's something that the enemy can throw at you that you don't know how to handle. So you're going to need to understand that you need your soul to be renewed so that you can recognize God's voice. You can recognize God's will. So you can recognize God's agenda. I hope you're getting this. So here we read the second, first scripture is that we've proved that God has a soul is Isaiah 1:18. Say, come, let us reason together. All right. Next one is Jeremiah 29:11. Watch this. Jeremiah 29:11. I got a third verse that I'm going to show you. Jeremiah 29:11. Watch this. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Says who? Says the Lord. So we know it's God talking. He say, for I know the what? The thoughts that he what? Thinks. That he think towards you. You got to have a soul to think. You have to have a soul to think. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Two scriptures that prove that God has a soul. You ready for the third one? Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians, the second chapter. I hope you're learning something. Praise God. Hope you're learning something. Philippians 2. Let me get to it. Philippians 2. Watch this. Go to verse 5. What it says, let this what? Mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who is Christ Jesus? He's a part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is part of the Trinity. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let the same thought process that is in Christ Jesus be in you. Let the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Jesus is part of the Trinity. Jesus always said, I and the Father are one. So if Jesus had a soul, that means God has a soul. Holy Spirit has a soul. So now that we know that God has a soul, you must understand how the soul cooperates with the spirit. Listen to this statement and grab a hold of this statement I'm about to give you. It's one of the most important statements I'll say all semester. Your soul is the eyes of your spirit into the natural. What I just said, your soul is the eyes of your spirit in the natural. Your spirit is the eyes of your soul in the supernatural. Again, what did I just say? That your spirit is the eyes of your soul in the supernatural. Your soul, is the eyes of your spirit into the natural. Your spirit is the eyes of your soul into the supernatural. Let that statement sink in. Because if that's the case, your soul and your spirit have to cooperate. They have to become one. They have to cooperate. I'm going to say it again. The eyes, your soul is the eyes of your spirit into the natural. And your spirit is the eyes of the soul into the supernatural. So your spirit must rely on your soul to get into the natural. And your soul must rely on your spirit to get in the supernatural. I can prove that. Go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Almost finished. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter and the 12th verse. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that your soul and your spirit are so closely intertwined that the only thing can separate the two is the word of God. So it says, even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner and of thoughts and intents of the heart. Every time you see the word heart in the Bible, it is talking about your soul, your mind, your conscience. Let that sink in. So everywhere you see the word heart, you can replace the word soul. Look up, some of y'all from last year should have got a strong concordance that take Hebrew and Old Testament, Greek and New Testament, and translate it for you to give you what that word meant in Hebrew for the Old Testament and Greek in the New Testament. So you'll see, you go look up in a strong concordance in Hebrew the 4th chapter, 12th verse, when it gets to the word heart, you see where it says soul. So the word of God, and when you look up in the 12th verse, word in that scripture, it says logos. So the written word of God, it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Really what it's saying is, it's separating the soul from the spirit long enough so that your soul can be renewed to accept what your spirit is trying to accomplish. Because see, Satan can't access, I said this earlier, Satan, the only place Satan can access is your soul. Satan cannot access your spirit. All Satan can do is cut your spirit off from having access to God. And the way he did that was by affecting Eve's soul and allowing the sin nature to come up. But Jesus died on the cross to take care of that sin nature, that it has no more power over us, so that our spirits can be reconnected to our original creator. So nothing was ever wrong with your spirit. It was suppressed because of your soul and sin nature. But Jesus and the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for the remission of sin redeemed us from that curse, redeemed us from being disconnected from our original creator. So all Satan is trying to do now is trying to cause us to be temporarily separated by our soul, the way we think. So the word of God is used to renew our thinking so that we can prove and recognize, glory to God, what God is talking, what God is moving. So you must allow your spirit and your soul to cooperate. Remember, your soul, your spirit is the master. Your soul is the manager. Sometimes the manager want to be the master, but you have to put the soul back in its place as a manager. A manager, what a manager's job is, is just to bring to pass the wishes of the master. So the manager's job is to control the slave. So if the master, if the master is always in place, because your spirit comes from God, your spirit comes from God. God doesn't do anything imperfect. Your spirit is already perfect, matured in everything. It is your manager, your soul, that sometimes get out of control. If your soul is out of control, then your slave is going to be out of control. Did you get that? Your spirit is already perfected because you come from God. Your spirit comes from God. If your manager or your soul is out of control, then your slave is going to be out of control. And therefore, the ability of the spirit is going to be bottled up, contained energy. You can stir up the gift all you want. If the soul don't cooperate, it will never be released into the earth realm. So this class this year is going to be about teaching your soul to cooperate with your spirit. There are five aspects of the soul that we're going to go over. We're going to take our time and go over. Because Satan, there's five general areas that Satan tried to rob us in our soul. Sometimes he robs us and we don't know where he's coming from. We don't know what's happening, you know, with our emotions, our intellect, our will, you know, our memory. We got to get all those things. We're going to take our time and go through and get all those things straight and show. And I will show you how to control each and every last one of them. So again, I look forward to having a great school year with you. Again, if you have any questions, you can email me through the classroom portal. I do pretty good at responding. If I don't respond, my assistant will respond. But I bless you tonight. May God continue to talk to you. May you, oh my God, may you receive everything God has for you. May you understand everything God has for you to understand. May you receive, understand. May you grasp everything God wants you to have. This is going to be a great year. This is going to be a great year. God is going to use you in a mighty way, and I'm excited to see it. So I bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week.